I am pretty certain we've got our music knowledge out of the way as we continue to roll through. It's already 8 o'clock, fellas. Sun's finally coming up on a Friday. Red Friday here on 96.5 The Fan. Chiefs Niners 325. Game of the week across the lovely United States of America. Captain Jack by Billy Joel. Is that song about alcohol or heroin?
No, yeah, it's... That's another one.
It's heroin, right?
Yeah, it's about
one final push.
Yeah.
And you'll be flying or whatever it is. This is my favorite segment. This is one that is self-deprecating, egotistical, brutal.
Boy, if we get it right, we're like, if we get it wrong, we're like, we're idiots.
It's great either way.
So let's fire it up. Let's get into the script.
It's all brought to you by Foaling. Don't forget, every Friday in October, free Foaling Fridays. And my wife just said, I think I'm going to have my 50th birthday party at Foaling. So if you want to have a Foaling party, feel free to book some lanes.
I'm
around
Ubering
and five
to that
out.
One. I'm Ubering to that party.
Yeah, all right.
Jen turns 50. You better believe I'm coming with just a bow tie and no shirt.
That's fine. She'll love it. Actually, you have to wear 50s gear, I think, if she wants everybody to dress like they're going to be like in their 50s or from the 50s.
From the 50s. Okay.
From the 50s. Like
so I can dress like I was in the movie Grease?
Yeah.
Like doo-wop-y.
Doo-wop-y. Yeah, that kind of thing. Poodle skirts and, you know, your tight shirts with your cigarettes rolled up in your sleeve, you know, the
now get in there, make me some food, damn it. You see, get in there. You're
that's
late.
The 20s, the 1920s, back when Josh was 50.
I'm just gonna Eddie Haskell that party.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
My God, Mrs. Sanderson, you look really beautiful. Your eyebrows really pop with your hairstyle today.
That's exactly right. I love playing the role of Eddie Haskell. My mother-in-law calls me that. I don't know why. So anyway, what's in the script brought to you by Foaling over at 435 in State Line. All right, I'm gonna get this thing started. Here's what's gonna happen on Sunday. The 49ers will receive. They'll move right down the field. They'll grab an early lead. Whether it's a field goal or a touchdown, the 49ers will have an early lead. It will be one of two drives where the 49ers come away with points. Travis Kelce, still being compared to George Kittle for whatever reason, will have a good day. He'll get about 80 yards receiving and a touchdown. The star of the offense, though, Kareem Hunt. He will make the red zone offense finally click after the last 2 years of that red zone offense riding that struggle bus, man. Hunt will also get close to 30 carries in the game as the Chiefs are trying to mask for that kind of lack of wide receivers at this point in time. Worthy will have one big play over 20 yards. Noah Gray will grab a red zone touchdown as well. And Chris Jones will come up with a late sack of Brock Purdy to ice the game for Kansas City as they move to 6-0.
Not mad about it. Macadoodle, you want to get into your script?
Let's do it. All right, so this game screams to me an Xavier Worthy breakout. So when we play this team, I feel like we got a lot of motions, a lot of window dressing. Nick Bosa's looking one way, then the ball's going the other way. We're keeping him out of the game, right? We're keeping that defense thinking way too much.
So are the referees.
That's true. Yeah, you're right. All the holding that the refs didn't call, exactly. But who plays well against this team on the Chiefs historically? Well, Mecole Hardman. I think now that's going to be Xavier Worthy kind of filling in to that Hardman role. You know, jet sweeps, eye candy, a lot of speed in those motions. He's got at least 70 yards and a touchdown with one big play. And then Kareem Hunt, you heard it from Bob. I think he's going to have a nice day as well. We'll start the convo actually about what we do with him once Pacheco comes back. I think that's how well Kareem Hunt will look.
That's going to be the conversation on Monday. And that's a good conversation to have because, you know, when the Chiefs won that first Super Bowl, they didn't have one running back. They had multiple running backs. And that's what you need in this league is you see with the injuries that mount up and guys get old, like, you know, Carson Steele fumble. So you need as many opportunities and options that you can have at that running back position. Kareem Hunt and Isaiah Pacheco together are going to be nice.
It's a damn good 1-2 punch. And they need multiple iterations of this Chiefs offense. Well, that's just another one. Thunder and some more thunder. And I think in a plot twist, the Chiefs run defense looks maybe the worst it has, which is a damn high bar. But I think they're actually going to allow 70 yards on the ground, which isn't a lot. I just think they're actually going to get 70 yards allowed. Debo will have a good run. And Brock Purdy will throw a pick near the end of the game to Justin Reed. Chiefs win 24-20.
Did you guys see the tweet that Justin Reed put on X yesterday?
Mm-mm.
Oh my goodness, it was so good. I'm gonna read it to you word for word if I can find it because I did retweet it yesterday. Justin Reed, I just want every opponent I play to turn on the tape and know that I will lay the hammer down on you every chance I get.
Did Mitch Holtz hack his account?
Justin Reed could go out there and destroy some people this weekend out in San Francisco.
Love it.
No better task than this weekend when he gets Brandon Ayuk, Debo Samuel, and George Kittle. So
that's right.
Live up to the hype. My script is A little bit of similar to both, but it is my own, and I stand on it. I, like Bob, think San Francisco gets early points because the Chiefs always seem to give up a first drive touchdown or field goals, and then the Chiefs respond with points in this game. It'll be Mahomes to many targets this game. I think this is one of those mini target games of Patrick Mahomes. I think seven different people have a reception. Kareem Hunt is big in this game, but it's not until the late third, early fourth. I look at this game as a let my starter get me to seven and let my bullpen clean it up. I think that Kareem Hunt can be that guy that you bring your closer in the eighth.
When was the last time a starter went seven in baseball these days?
Garrett Cole, game five, or game four, whatever it was. But no, I think that the Kareem Hunt gets big and gets going late into the third and then most of the fourth, and that's where you see a lot of his yards take over. I like this D-line to get at least 2.5 sacks total, with 95 getting at least 1.5 sacks this weekend. I also think this is another game where we see the Chimari Connors disguised Spagnola blitz late sack in the game against Brock Purdy, and I do believe the Chiefs win this game. I believe it's close till the end. 24-13, Chiefs beat the Niners.
All righty. Bob, we got a score from you.
35-0.
Yeah, as I say, you should know that.
Mm-hmm. My fault. Yeah. Thanks for listening. Wasn't 60.
Yeah. Nope, 35-0.
35-0. No, 35-2. They get a late safety in this game. Yeah. No, I mean, you know, 35-6. They'll miss the extra point or something like that, you know, early on. Because every team scores early on against the Chiefs. Like, Spagnuolo is the ultimate tease, right? All right, we got something working. Yeah, that's the last time you're going to see our side of the field. Like, it's not even don't let them in the red zone. Like, Spags doesn't even allow these teams to cross midfield after that first drive. So they'll get something on the first drive, whether it's a field goal or a touchdown, and the Chiefs will play from behind as they always do, and they'll find a way to win this thing. And I don't think it's going to be one that, you know, we're going to be sweating out a lot, but maybe we will, because we sweat out every game now here in Kansas City.
I didn't really sweat that game out last week.
No, not last week. Now, the New Orleans game, you didn't really sweat.
Chargers game, I was just like, of course, Justin Herbert's going to play like a machine on one leg.
Yeah.
And he did. He was decent.
Oh, this should be a fun one. It's got, obviously, the Super Bowl rematch, which really doesn't matter, but that's how it's going to be billed. Then you got Tom Brady calling the game this weekend, which is obviously big to see, you know, how he's going to handle his childhood team versus the, you know, the guy who could take away the greatest of all time from Tom Brady. So I think there's a lot of intriguing things, you know, with this game this weekend, and it's the only game on in that 325 window on Fox, so the entire country is going to be settled in watching the Chiefs and the 49ers.
Yeah, we should all give Tom Brady a grade on Monday.
We can.
Yeah, but I think everybody wants him to be bad, right? Like, and I wonder if people can allow him to be good, right?
I don't know if people, everybody wants to be bad.
I think people are rooting against him because I think so many people liked Greg Olsen. Right.
Oh, yeah.
As both a broadcaster and a person. And I think there's a lot of people that feel he got screwed. The other thing is they're paying Tom Brady $375 million to do this job. Right. OK. And we all resent people who make a lot of money. It's the American way. But Tom Brady's getting paid $375 million over 10 years to do this job. Mm-hmm. And he's not even really able to do the job because he now owns the Raiders. So he really can't participate in any of the stuff that actually is the job of talking to the coaches and going to the practice and all that kind of stuff. How good can Tom Brady be compared to the other color analysts that are getting that insightful inside information that I do believe helps them in their broadcasts? Mm-hmm. So it's interesting to see how that is all going to play out. I think the NFL probably at the end of the year needs to tell Tom Brady, you need to do one or the other here. I know you already bought into the Raiders, so how about you give this TV thing a break so we can have people that can actually do the job to their best of their ability in the broadcast booth.
I'm okay if Tom's good. I mean, we don't have a lot of good color commentators. Like, you mentioned Greg Olsen. I think Trent Green's pretty good with Kevin Harlan, but Trent, we don't really get a lot of him because they get a lot of noon games due to Kevin's schedule.
Right.
Because he does Monday Night Football, and then once basketball starts, he's everywhere. Mark Sanchez hasn't been great.
No.
But it'll be interesting to see how Tom Brady is against Patrick Mahomes in a game like where he's going to have to call a game where he's like, man, I literally just gave this guy the torch. Mm-hmm. And now I'm watching him against my childhood team in my childhood state like do this.
I want to see Tom be good as well. I mean, I look
around.
I'm not
rooting against him to be bad.
No, but I think people are rooting against Tom Brady because it's Tom Brady, right? Like, this guy's got everything, supermodel wives, facelifts, you know.
I think rooting against him as opposed to not giving him a chance, I think is the not give him a chance, I think is where it's at. Because my late great mother, she even said, she goes, I can't stand that effing Tom Brady. Like, that was what she would always say. But I think that's where we're at. Like, I think with Tom Brady, it's like everyone knows that, like, what he was and who he is and what he did to the Chiefs. So it's like, does that sort of thing kind of eat at you? To me, it doesn't, because now it's like, well, yeah, you might have done that, you know, to the Chiefs. You can't do that anymore. And now you have to watch it all unfold and maybe take over what your dynasty was. So to me, I'm interested to see how he talks about the Chiefs, because I think for a while we were interested in how Romo could like predict what was going to happen, or if he was, you know, this guy's going to come down here, Jim, they're going to throw a screen and then he's going to try to get a block from this guy. And then you watch the play and you're like, he nailed that.
Yeah.
And that was, to me, the cool part about Romo.
Yep.
Now it's like overly modulated and it's ran its course and gotten stale.
He's not doing that anymore.
Because he's not doing his homework, according to CBS.
Right, exactly.
At least last year. So Tom Brady, who I think at the start of his broadcasting career, which I think we do this in radio too, you kind of over-prepare. And you think you got to get to every single point, otherwise it's not successful. You might hit on something that's very, very intriguing. Just stick with it, and less can be more. It's like Costa Vida burritos. Great place. You don't need all the toppings they present. Less is more in a place like that. With Tom Brady in this game, just relax. Act like you're on the sideline watching the game unfold, but you're speaking to millions.
Yeah, and I think when you start to think about some of the good color analysts that are out there and who's really, really at the top of their game, look, I know people don't like Chris Collinsworth, but he's really good.
Yes.
I mean, he's really, really good at what he does. I think Kirk Herbstreit's fantastic as well. The fact that he can juggle both the college and the pro game and be very good on both of those broadcasts. I think Kirk Herbstreit's a really good color commentator for all of this. Troy Aikman, I'm not a huge fan
really,
of.
Really, I like Troy a lot.
You do like Troy?
Past few years.
Yeah.
Didn't like him before. I think he's gotten a lot better.
He's gotten
recently.
Better.
See, he criticizes the refs now.
Yeah, that is true. He does do that.
Yeah,
which
not
Tom's
afraid.
Not allowed to do.
Exactly.
He's not allowed to do that. And and that's where I wonder, like, can you effectively do this job? Because as we know, look, as much as we don't want them to be, the referees are a big part of these games now in the NFL. Everybody's focused on the referees, especially when it involves the Chiefs. They all believe that the referees are out here making these calls for the Chiefs. Will Tom Brady be able to say, boy, that was a really bad call by Carl on the field on Sunday? Or is he not allowed to even say that? Because the referees do play an impact in this game. We hear it in every game, whether it's Jacksonville and New England doing their thing on Sunday in London.
Monday night was clouded by referee.
So it's a part of the game. As much as we don't want them to be, officials are a major part of this game. And what's that going to do for Tom Brady? Is it going to leave, you know, Kevin Burkhardt in there just to rip the officials by himself and throw it to Tom Rinaldi, who's going to try to rip him on the field, or Aaron Andrews? Like, it's not going to work that way. So I think you're putting Tom Brady in a situation that's not winnable for Tom Brady at this point.
Our intriguing games of the weekend and what we are covering in our Cover 2 coming up on the other side on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan. It is your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan.
Right back in here on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan. Before we get into our intriguing games of the weekend, Bob's going to give you something that is intriguing for today and today only.
Yeah, free foaling Fridays all October long. Every Friday from 2 to 6, get in early and get foaling just before 6 o'clock, and it is free. They'll have rotating drink specials, seasonal selections for the fall. You got a larger group, you want to reserve some space, do so on their website, foalingkc.com. So free foaling every Friday in October. Just tell them you heard it right here on 96.5 The Fan, and you can foal for free, baby.
This is a topic that has nerd written all over it because Mac's number one intriguing matchup over the weekend. Mac, take it away. This is all you, my man.
No, wait. This is actually a surprise. I think Bob is the one that said this.
Well, it's intriguing for one reason and one reason only. Is Doug Peterson getting fired after this game? And it's Jacksonville versus New England in London. Obviously, it's the early game. If I'm up, I'll flip it on, obviously. But it's not going to be. Oh, I will be. But, you know, if I'm out running shirtless or something on Sunday morning, you know, through the neighborhood, I'll probably.
What if he wins this game 13-10?
13-10? I still think you keep him. I don't think you fire him after a win. Right, and it's really weird that New England is playing in old England. England. How about that as too? You know, you think the British people are going to be rooting for New England because it's got England in the name?
No, because they're revolutionary, like, American soldiers.
Oh, you think they'll be scared? Like, like we're attacking? Like, you're going to see the Patriots in there taking care of business in London? But
get your redcoats.
Yeah, exactly. Like, the redcoats are coming, man. So you got New England and
Paul
Jacksonville.
Revere.
It's intriguing just because I want to know if Jacksonville loses, is this it for Doug Peterson?
Yes, 1,000%.
But who are you going to hire? You
Mike
know, Jacksonville
Vrabel.
Is still in that kind of, you know, like, we fire a guy, hire a guy, fire a guy, hire a guy, fire a guy, hire a guy. Like, that's part of the reason why they're a disaster right now is because they just can't figure it out from that head coaching standpoint. But Doug Peterson, too, also, like, that guy has fallen so far. I kind of feel bad for him. The man won a Super Bowl and basically has become irrelevant since winning that Super Bowl. Philadelphia got rid of him, then he sat out a year, and now he's coaching Jacksonville, took them to the playoffs, one of the great comebacks in the postseason, and they haven't done anything since that playoff game basically here in Kansas City and haven't won in almost a year or won one time in a year since last Thanksgiving. So I don't want to say you have to fire Doug Peterson, but that's the way the NFL works, man. And if they lose to the Patriots of all teams, there's a good chance that, you know, Monday morning, Doug Peterson is looking for work and the Jacksonville Jaguars have an interim head coach.
Is there a coach in the NFL that has more than one Super Bowl trophy other than Reed?
Currently coaching.
Tomlin's
right
only got one, right?
Tomlin has
Harbaugh. Harbaugh has one.
Yeah,
I mean, outside of the Chiefs and the Patriots, not many people have. No, McVay's got one.
McVay's got one.
But I mean, it's McVay, Harbaugh, your
Tomlin,
boy last night,
and Sean Payton.
Those are the only coaches inside the NFL right now that have Super Bowl rings. Doug Peterson.
Yeah, Doug Peterson.
So, I mean, Tomlinson hasn't really like won us anything significant since he won one. Like, there's
Tomlin.
Yeah.
Yeah, and still he did, like, since he inherited a great team. Yeah.
It's interesting because, like, we say that about Doug Peterson having one Super Bowl, but like no one else outside of the names, unless I'm missing one, I don't think I am.
Continues to prove my point. All of these coaches in the NFL are irreplaceable parts. They all suck. They really do. There's like five or six good coaches in this league. The rest are just average replaceable parts.
I guess McCarthy has one.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I'm just going through the teams. That's interesting. Like, now that Belichick's out, there's only one, multiple
Andy's
Super Bowl?
The only one with multiple Super Bowl championships.
That just shows you the dominance that two teams have had over the last 20 years.
I know, and everybody thinks the NFL has got parity in it, right? It doesn't. Not at all. No parity in the NFL. Baseball has parity. The NFL does not. But the NFL sells hope better than baseball does, makes it feel like there's parity in the league. But at the end of the day, it's either the Chiefs or Patriots that are standing on top.
Does Tomlin have two? He got the one against Arizona.
Right.
Yeah.
Is there another one that I'm missing?
I don't think so.
No. Text line says Tomlin has two, but I'm trying to think of the other one that he would have.
Who would they have beaten?
Because who did Cowher beat in his final Super Bowl with
They that was in Detroit. They beat Seattle.
Yeah.
And then Tomlin took over. They beat Arizona. Yeah, they haven't won one since then. No.
I was going to
say. That's it.
Yeah.
No, that's it.
Someone says Tomlin has two with Big Ben. There's no, I don't know.
No, he does.
No,
he doesn't.
No.
He inherited a great team and he won and hasn't.
He's got
sense.
One Super Bowl, though, right?
Yeah.
You looked it up?
Yes, I just looked it up.
Yeah, so no, he doesn't have two. So, yeah, it's interesting. Let's see here. Another intriguing.
Harbaugh hasn't done anything in a decade and a half either.
Beat his brother with the lights out.
Yeah.
On the football field.
Right.
Detroit at Minnesota is intriguing.
Well, Google's saying, yeah.
He does have two?
They're saying he has two.
So you're wrong.
So you looked it up, and yet you're still wrong.
Wait, oh, okay. Yeah, no, he has two appearances. Why does Google do that? No, he has two appearances. He does not have two rings.
Okay.
Who do they lose to in the Super Bowl?
Packers.
Yeah. Aaron Rodgers beat him.
Oh, that's Aaron Rodgers. Yep. Okay, that's so long ago, it doesn't matter.
Detroit, Minnesota is interesting and intriguing as well. Sam Darnold off the bye, Minnesota 5-0, and they get the heavily high-powered offense of Detroit. I just saw their offensive coordinator on Good Morning Football. They took his press conference. By the way, did you see Dan Campbell's press stand where he was at?
Dude,
no.
What is with the podium?
He looked like Honey, I Shrunk the Coach.
Oh, no, I did not see that.
God,
oh,
I should. God, it's right. Crazy. It's like they dropped off like a U-Haul truck, and he gave the speech from there.
Oh.
But Detroit, Minnesota, this is our first like big northern battle, right? Like, I know that we'll get Packers and Bears and oh my. And
those
all that.
Are fringe teams, though. These are the real teams in the NFC North.
So far, I think Packers are good. I think they're going to be really great because Jordan Love looks like he's ready to go and make a march for the MVP. But this game's intriguing as all hell. I mean, Detroit-Minnesota rivalry matchup. could be 65 points on the board in this game. Justin Jefferson, Amara St. Brown.
Yes.
Like, this could get good. This game could be really. Is it a nooner?
I think this is a nooner.
That's a great nooner. Cincy at Cleveland is the obvious here because Burrow can't beat the Browns and Nick Chubb's back and they can't stop the run.
I don't know why this game is on the list.
Yeah, Nick Chubb's back and I mean, if they lose, the season's over. If Bengals lose, the season's over.
That's tough that the rest of their games are literally win or go home for the rest of the year.
For the rest of the year. Yeah, it's playoff football the rest of the way for Cincinnati. Yeah.
I do think it's intriguing because Burrow literally cannot beat the Browns. It's in Cleveland. And Nick Chubb's back, and the Cincinnati Bengals can't stop the run.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if Nick Chubb's going to, for fantasy people, I know you'll talk about it.
Yeah, I'll tell you.
I don't know if he's going to get like 20 carries. I think they're going to ease him in.
Me too. Jerome Ford's good.
But they're also without Amari Cooper, who is like the all-time target leader in that team. We'll see if Jerry Jeudy can do anything for that offense. But I mean, if it's me, I would take Cincinnati and I'd lay the points.
Cleveland's in give up mode right now.
Yeah. Oh yeah. You talk about teams that this is the week where the white flag gets waved.
Yeah. Cleveland's in give up mode. They're building that new stadium and they're giving up on the season.
And how much more length do we give until the offensive line stops giving a rip? Put Jameis Winston in there or we don't care. I'm not saying that they're going to try to get their quarterback hurt. That's not what I'm saying. But to block it 100% as opposed to blocking 85%.
Why am I giving my all when I got this guy back here who's not capable of playing?
Yeah. And you're not winning.
And you're not winning games.
You're just, I don't know.
It's and he tough. Hasn't owned up to any of it. There's not been one.
No, he's a piece of.
No, he's trash. Duff.
Yeah.
I could play better. I got to do. No, none of that. None of that.
Hmm. How many does McVay have? He has one.
He has one.
Been to two.
Been to two. Yep.
The next intriguing matchup here, Philly at the Giants.
Couple of reasons why this is intriguing. Mm-hmm. Number one, the Saquon Barkley response from the crowd. How he does in this game. I'll get more to that in the cover two.
Mm-hmm.
But also, if the Giants lose, how much closer they are in trading guys and waving the white flag and saying, Slayton, you can go to Kansas City now and be a piece to that offense. So that's kind of what you're looking for in this one. And, you know, I think with every loss that mounts in Philadelphia, they get closer and closer to firing Nick Sirianni as well. I mean, the guy shaved his head and brought his kid to a press conference. That's top. Todd Haley type stuff. Okay?
And it was chirping at Browns fans in the crowd in Philadelphia.
Chirping at Philadelphia fans in the crowd at Philadelphia. He was not chirping at Browns fans. He was chirping at his own
fans.
So you chirped at your own fans, you shaved your head, and you brought your kid to a press conference. That shows me right then and there the line is starting to crumble a little bit under Nick Sirianni. He's holding on for dear life.
Another intriguing matchup, which is the final one on our list, is Bob's Jets his Steelers as well. It's a tough matchup for you. Get your most hated quarterback, get your most loved coach who's going to be shuffling through the quarter. It seems like Russell Wilson's going to start.
I don't know if Russell Wilson's going to start or not, man. I think that's ridiculous if they do start Russell Wilson. You're 4-2 right now. Continue to ride. I don't want to say the hot hand, but the hand that got you there right now, that's obviously your defense. I don't think the Jets are going to be able to score that many points against the Steelers. They're that good on defense. I think TJ Watt's going to eat the lunch of Aaron Rodgers this weekend because he's an immobile human being. He can't throw. His line isn't that good. He's going to get demolished. That's why, you got Devontae Adams. Did you improve your offensive line? Because that thing sucks.
Mm.
I think the Jets pwn the Steelers on Sunday night.
Really?
Yeah, I do. I do. I think that offense is going to look killer.
You're about to get pwned.
Who's playing? Are they get a new offensive line?
I mean, it hasn't been as bad as people want
to
say.
You guys say the rah-rah around the new coach or the new quarterback. Do you think there's a rah-rah around the new arrival of the offense of Devontae Adams?
I don't know. It's a wide receiver that's 31 years old that has a hamstring injury.
No, he doesn't.
Oh, he doesn't? Mm-hmm. Oh, I had heard that for 2 weeks. Didn't play.
Not anymore, he doesn't.
Yeah, he fits in perfect with Aaron.
Ravens at Bucks. We don't have that on our list for intriguing matches.
Monday night football.
That's a good one. That's a good one.
That's a solid one.
Yeah, it's two top five offenses.
Yeah, Baker versus Lamar, last year's MVP versus the MVP front runner right now in Baker Mayfield, believe it or not. 15-5, leads in touchdown passes, leads in passing yards in the NFL.
So weird.
One Baker Mayfield. All right, let's get into the cover two. Bob, who are you covering this weekend?
Well, number one is going to be the Jets for me. I mean, how can you not be watching the Jets and Steelers this weekend, right? Like, that is, to me,
Sunday night,
the most intriguing matchup for a number of reasons.
So you're literally waiting all day Sunday
for Sunday night. Yes, Carrie Underwood tells me, right?
Those legs.
Oh, my goodness.
They make a man weak.
Best since Katie Couric. It's going to be compelling to see Aaron Rodgers and Adams, and I know everybody's going to expect the world, right? Yeah. Oh, my goodness. So
as they should, the way they delivered it.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Devontae Adams will probably have 3 catches for 20 yards. Aaron Rodgers will get his ass sacked because there's no offensive line. The offensive coordinator ain't going to call any good plays. The Jets are not winning this football game. Pittsburgh is going to take care of business. So I'm just excited to see Aaron Rodgers cry now that he's got his buddy alongside. What else are we going to do here, Aaron, and complain? The other one is going to be Saquon Barkley. Mm-hmm. Does he make an impact for the Eagles in his return to New York? Giants have a really good defensive front, okay? They can play defense on the front line. Does he have an impact? And what kind of boos does he get? Like, if he scores a touchdown, do they throw beer bottles and things? Like, I don't think they will. But, you know, I don't think the boos are going to be as loud as if he was like a former Jet playing in a game against the Jets. Because Giant fans still are a little more reserved. What?
Was that a burp?
It was a burp.
What the hell was that?
Cut that back. Cut that back and play it.
Good Lord.
It sounded like John Coffey took the flies out of your mouth.
Yeah, I mean, it did. That's the last movie I owned on VHS.
I'm sorry, boss. He had to go.
So sorry.
Is he dead now?
Yes.
He is, yeah.
For about 5 to 6 years. Yeah, play that burp back. It was just like a...
Yeah, good Lord.
So he thought about your take on the cover, yeah, too, I guess.
Do you think Saquon celebrates if he scores?
Well, everybody celebrates when they
score.
Not
everybody. Sometimes they'll put the ball down and respect the respect
no,
the audience.
No, I mean, you got to celebrate. You get in the end zone in the NFL, you got to celebrate.
Do you have the burp?
I've got to. Let me take off the NFL music and let me get it for
okay.
you.
Okay.
Yeah, give me 1 second.
All right, I'll get into my cover two. My cover two is similar to yours in the first one. I am interested in both wide receivers as in their new homes. I do love Amari Cooper to the Bills. I thought that was the better move. I thought that the Jets got better, though, because Aaron Rodgers needs more people to throw to than Josh Allen does, in my opinion. Josh mm-hmm. Allen's been great this year without Amari Cooper. They've added Amari Cooper in Buffalo. I'm interested to see what that's like, because unlike Stephon Diggs, I don't think Amari Cooper is as exalted as Stephon Diggs. I think he's just a guy that like wants to win. He went from Dallas to Cleveland. Cleveland didn't work out, obviously, because of what they did to their quarterback.
If he wants to win, why would you go from Dallas to Cleveland?
Well, that was probably before. He probably wanted the bag. So he got it after he left Dallas. Jerry Jones didn't give it to him. Another mistake. And so now he's in Buffalo. Josh Allen has a legit wide receiver one, which can make that offense a little bit different. And I'm interested to see how he is played into that role. I don't think that he will skip a beat. In fact, I think he will probably lead in targets. I think he'll probably have at least 5 to 6 catches.
I think it's a better addition for Buffalo than I do for the Jets adding Devontae Adams.
And that's fair. I just think that the Jets get better because of what Devontae Adams is. I'm also interested in how quickly we see Aaron Rodgers just kind of push Garrett Wilson to the side. Garrett Wilson is a stud.
I'll take Garrett Wilson here right now.
I love Garrett Wilson. I think he's super talented, the former Offensive Rookie of the Year. And
I hope he does get pushed to the side and says, I want out.
And
let's get him here in Kansas City. Let's go.
And I'm interested to see how Devontae Adams is able to react to Aaron Rodgers. We haven't seen the two play with each other since
2021.
Right after COVID. Mm-hmm. And it's 2024. So it's been 3 years. We talk about the NFL, you miss a year. It's magnificent to your career it's anti-magnificent to your career because of how much you've missed. And to see their relationship, kind of see if it's rusty, to see if it's still there. I'm interested to see that as well. The other one is the Rookie of the Year leader right now in Jaden Daniels. Mm-hmm. Jaden Daniels coming off a heartbreaking loss to the Baltimore Ravens. They were in that game. They lost by 7. Victory formation, Lamar Jackson. They think Jaden Daniels is Lamar 2.0. If I'm him, I'm ecstatic with that sort of comparison.
Sure, that's a great comparison.
He is not only a Rookie of the Year candidate, but he is an MVP candidate, whether you want to believe it or not. He is completely, he and Dan Quinn and that ownership have flipped that Commanders franchise around. They're a fun team to watch, and they have a game in which they can literally boat race the team they play, which is the Carolina Panthers. And if Jaden Daniels go out there and hang out with 4 touchdowns and throw for 250 and run for about 50 and really show the league that, yeah, he had a tough game against Lamar, but he did that and more against a team that he should have beat up in Carolina. They're -8. I love the Commanders in this points. I'd almost alt spread it to 10, but I'm interested to see if Jaden Daniels can bounce back after a tough loss against a tough opponent, which is what it's going to be like in the playoffs as games get tougher. We did this last year with CJ Stroud. I think we're doing it this year with Jaden Daniels. Unfortunately, Caleb Williams is on a bye, but in 2 weeks, you better believe my cover two will involve those two quarterbacks as they'll play each other for the Rookie of the Year.
And if Jaden Daniels doesn't go out there and ball against Carolina, the MVP conversation's over.
For sure. He's that young.
Yeah.
And they know that he has the Rookie of the Year award already. Very rarely would we see rookie and MVP go the same player. And this is one of those games where it's like, hey, look, you're playing Carolina. You're coming off a tough out of division loss.
You got to
go out there and flex that hog.
Yeah, go show everybody who you are. And if he doesn't go out there and play big, then we'll talk about Patrick Mahomes still getting that MVP.
Macabelch? You hear that thing, dude?
I did.
One more time. I mean, it's like, I'm telling you, the flies.
I mean, it sounds like death coming out of you.
That's what I'm saying. It's those flies.
Yeah.
Sorry. My cover two, you bring up Saquon Barkley, we go with another running back and go Nick Chubb.
Yeah.
Everyone hates the Cleveland Browns. There's two guys that I like on the Cleveland Browns. Miles Garrett. I'll make it three. But there's two guys that can really save what is left of the Browns season. One of them is Nick Chubb. The other is Jameis Winston.
They're 1-5. There's nothing left of the Browns season.
When I say save, I'll forget playoffs, forget actual contention, just to have a good time, to fans to not hate their lives for the rest of the season.
Oh, if you're a Jameis Browns fan, Nick Chubb, sell your tickets. If they'll give them away. I mean, like, there's no reason to go watch that team.
It's one of my favorite players to watch, and seeing his letter to the fans was awesome. I'm rooting for him hard. I'm going to root against the Browns. Well, not this week. I'm going to root for the Browns against the Bengals, but I'm going to root for him hard. He's first team all class, and I hope he individually buries Cincinnati. Second's going to be the Giants, because if they lose, that means more chances for the Chiefs to acquire Darius Slayton.
Yeah. Or Daniel Jones.
If he loses, if the Giants win, they're 3-4. They're tied with the Eagles. Cowboys on a bye. That means they're all pretty much locked up at that 3-3, 3-4 marker with the Commanders up. That means their season is over. That means there's a less likelihood that the Chiefs can go out there and get Darius Slayton, who's probably, I mean, I would say all of our number one choices right
now. I think it has to be, because I think I think your number one choice would probably be Justin Jefferson, but let's use logic and talk about logically what your number one choice would be,
right?
And it gets whittled down, and it is Darius Slayton that probably is that number one choice. And look, the Chiefs are very active in trying to get a wide receiver. They called Oakland trying to get Devontae Adams. They were told Mr. Davis is not going to trade him to a division rival, and so you move on. So you know that the Chiefs are active. They're trying to get better at wide receiver. They're trying to do what they can to improve that offense, and you can only do as much as another team will allow you to do. And until these teams realize that they're out of it, they're not going to be trading off their parts. They still want to sell tickets. They still want to make money. It's still a business. But you get to that point in the season where you do have to recognize, if you're the Giants or the Browns or the Bills or whoever the case may be, that we're not in this thing right now. And it's better for us to trade off some of our expiring contracts, get some draft picks. And I don't want to say start the rebuild, but continue to build and continue to use draft picks to make our team better. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where the Giants are. After a loss, if they lose this game, they'll be, 2-5?
2-4.
2-4 if they lose this game. So if you lose this game, you're sitting at 2-4. You're probably out of it. You've got to start to realize you're out of it. But again, nobody's going to make a move until they realize they're out of it. And they have to realize it themselves. I always tell people about, like, losing weight or quitting smoking. Until you're ready, there's nothing anybody can tell you to do. Mm-hmm. So until the Giants are ready, or Jacksonville's ready, or Carolina's ready to admit that their season is over, the Chiefs can't just go out there and kidnap wide receivers and bring them to Kansas City.
Our cover two is over, but we'll go back and go through Mitch Holtis said we should cover this weekend on the other side. Fesco and Dusty brought to you by Rainer Garage Doors of Kansas City. LiftMaster has patented MyQ technology and is the number one professionally installed garage door opener. Find them at RainerKC.com. Mitch Rerack on the other side.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for K-State Athletics, 96.5, The Fan.
Back here on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, our burping executive producer, Mac Morey, with us as well. Damn glad to have you on this Friday here on a Red Friday when it comes to Kansas City. Finally, feels like we've been off for like 2 weeks.
Yeah, it has been. It's been weird. But again, it was the perfect timing for an off week for the Chiefs with the Royals going to the postseason and doing their thing, and then the postseason ended for the Royals, and then the Chiefs are back. So we've had our fill of fun and excitement, not like Cleveland did.
Here it comes. Swung on, hit high, hit deep to left. There she goes! How about that? A walk-off two-run home run to the bleachers in left by David Fry. And the magical 2024 season is not done by any means.
Hell of a call last night by Tom Hamilton that kept Cleveland's season alive. It was over.
One up guy.
Plateau, Matanza! Feliz Navidad! Feliz Navidad! Con Casey Noel! Acaba de empatar el encuentro la Navidad en octubre! ¡Qué bárbaro! ¡Qué monstruo!
Se puso la Navidad y no ha nevado todavía. Lo que cayó fue la explosión que le dijo a ustedes si se pasaba Nate Thomas. Algo iba a pasar. La puso chiquitita. John Kelsey Noel gozándose empate este partido. Le dijo a ustedes que esto no se ha acabado. Todavía una gran oportunidad. ¡Qué clase de palo, mi gente!
Oh, man, that was so good. That was the Noel Spanish home goal. Run, man. Yeah. Play the beginning of that again. Can you hear the ball?
Plateau, Matanza! Yeah.
I mean, that. Have you ever seen a home run crushed like that guy did? I mean, that was like Pedro Serrano crushing a ball into the dark night, right?
Yeah, damn tequila shot after hearing that.
I mean, Noel crushed that ball.
At least not.
Oh, what a great call, man. Big Christmas with the home run. Way to go. That was a great call. I love it, man.
Speaking of a call, Mitch Holthus, who joined the show earlier, had this to say about the difference in the defenses or the, I guess, team of San Francisco.
Guys, they lost 8 dudes on defense to free agency. 8. They have 4 guys that are on IR that are key guys. Everybody talks about Christian McCaffrey, and they should, and there's 7 main guys on IR for the 49ers right now, but 4 of those guys are on defense, Hufanga being the leading one. Now, he didn't play in the Super Bowl.
Topanga?
But there's guys that played in the Super Bowl. They're not going to play in this game because of injuries. And defensively, what they lost in the offseason, they're struggling on defense. They're 26th in the league now in points allowed. They lost, you guys, a 14-point lead to the Rams, who are struggling, and a 13-point lead at home to the Cardinals. Now, not all of that's defense, but when the stuff started to run downhill, the defense couldn't stop them.
So the kind of a flip in the script, the Chiefs go from like obviously being always known for offense, now basically known for defense. Mm-hmm. We mentioned this earlier in the week on the show that they are 5th against the run, 6th in total points allowed, and 7th in yards allowed total in a game. San Francisco, complete opposite, right? They're like 26th, 27th in all those major categories. But on the offensive side, they're like 4th in total yards. They're 3rd in rushing in the NFL. And this is a game, I think, that when we watch it on Sunday, you'll understand it's power versus power. It's their offense versus your defense. Whereas the first time they met in the Super Bowl, I feel like it was their defense versus your offense.
It definitely was. Yeah.
Obviously last year was a little bit of a mix of both because the Chiefs had the great defense and they had figured out what their offense was in simplicity at its finest. But this is power versus power. This Chiefs D line versus that offensive line. This is, you know, what can their running back, Mason, who is going to play, obviously Christian McCaffrey, out, but they're going to try to run the ball. That's what they're going to do. They want to keep the ball, the perfect recipe, keep the ball out of Mahomes' hand and keep the ball on your offensive side of the field, and that's how you beat the Chiefs. So far, nobody's done it. They've tried it. Chiefs 5-0, but San Francisco's going to try to run the ball. This is why the defensive line for the Chiefs must stay strong and must live up to their reputation.
And I've got no doubt that they will go out there and dominate.
Pump the brakes, Bob.
No, I've got 100% confidence that this defensive line is going to go out there and shut down that San Francisco offensive line. That's why they say defense wins championships. You rolled through all those stats, and I'm listening. Whatever.
I'm sorry.
And that's okay. But you know, the team that's ranked higher in offense right now is 3-3. The team that's ranked higher in defense is 5-0. Mm-hmm. So defense wins championships. It always has. You go out there and you shut down the opponent and they can't score points. All you have to do is go out there, score 21, 22, what, 26 points, and you're going to win the game. The Chiefs have not scored over 30 points yet this season and have won all their games. That's because they're limiting what everybody else is doing. 20, 25, and then the last 3 games, 17, 10, and 13. You keep putting up stats like that and scores like that, they will go undefeated. And that's not hyperbole. That's fact. If you hold every opponent to under 20 points the rest of the way, you're not going to lose a football game. You're just not. Mm-hmm. And so this team right now is playing so good on the defensive side, it gets lost because we just harp on and dwell on and talk about the need for a wide receiver. Meanwhile, forgetting that this defense is like, yeah, we know you're a little bit down on the offensive side from injury standpoint. We'll step it up. We'll go out there and lay the wood to somebody and kick somebody's ass.
And I think the reason that you look at that is 85 points in five games, divide that by five, it's 17. So if the Chiefs score 20 points, game's over.
Game's over.
And they only allow 5.6 points in the second half, as we gave into that stat.
Oh, that's early. A crazy number right there, man.
That was from your boy right there.
You don't score early against the Chiefs. And by early, I mean on that first drive.
No doubt.
You don't stand a chance.
Yep. Mitch Holtis also compared a band instrument to the San Francisco offense.
Think about the percussion session and think about the snare drummer. Think about a snare drummer just taking the drumstick, Dale, did you touch my drumstick? And then just beat it. Like, just think of the beat. Like, tick, 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 tick. That's the San Francisco 49er offense. They so want to stay on schedule. They want to stay just on that beat. And if they stay on that beat, they'll beat you. If you go up and do the cymbal crash or your Will Ferrell and steal the drumsticks, they hate it. It throws them off. If they get thrown off just a tad, it happened in Super Bowl 54 and it happened in Super Bowl 58. Once the avalanche starts, they struggle to stop it. And we've seen it happen this year because they're not as good defensively. But when that offense is taken off the snare drum rhythm where they have to follow not a 15-play script but a 30-play script, if you can pull them off that, especially early, you can wreak havoc with the 49ers. They're good. They're good, but they're also 3-3 for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, in my opinion, based on my study, that's what I've laid out for them. You get them off rhythm offensively. Defensively right now, they can't stop an avalanche.
Doesn't that sum up Kyle Shanahan in a nutshell?
I don't know. Midlife crisis, to me, sums up Kyle Shanahan.
That guy gets off his rhythm and loses these football games. It happens in the Super Bowl to him every single time. Happened when he was the offensive coordinator at Atlanta. Happened to him in the two Super Bowls against the Chiefs. They got them off that rhythm just a little bit, and there was no recovering.
Yeah. I mean, it's like we said earlier, when they get into your head, you have to reevaluate. So coming up on the other side, the segment that survived after hours that made it into Fesco and Dusty. It is our Richard of the Week at 9 o'clock here on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Fesco and Dusty.
I can feel it all the way down in my plums.
On Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5 The Fan.